This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Pharrell on a bench in the biggest way possible, hanging out a bad seat, a broken head, a bad apple with a bad attitude, hanging around a bunch of bad actors, bad tape, bad luck, bad dude, bad breath, bad attention, bad vibes. We are live in the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in New York City. People trust the plastic bags to break the traffic. Some kind of fashion shake it up. Should debate with my friend to come around. Fetch a flat to party up. Rats on the west side. Bed bugs uptown. What a mess. This time to tatter. My brain is splattered. Splattered all over Manhattan. Should debate O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Every day, 5-5-2-1-2. 4227 is how you get Ben. Are you with us tonight from New York? All right, 855-212-4227. 855-212-4. CBS is the number to get on the bench. Jim McBride will join us from the Boston Globe here in 12 minutes to talk about the Pats and the Red Sox and the Celtics and whatever the hell else we want to talk about with him. That's at 10:20, 7:20 Vegas time, 11:20 East, 8:20 Vegas time. Billy Huber from Packer Report joins us to talk about Aaron Rodgers. Looks like he's going to go, right, in Charlotte against the Panthers on Sunday. Everybody will be tuning in for that one. So will you. He's going to return against the Panthers. McCarthy says his return cannot bring false confidence. Will Rodgers be healthy enough to win against the Cardinals? Please. He can do whatever he wants against anybody, right? Like, bottom line. Paul George returned to Indy tonight to heavy boos. And despite scoring just 12 points on 3 of 14 dismal from the floor, his performance. His OKC Thunder win the game by 5. That's all that matters. Should the Thunder consider breaking up their big three? There's been talk in recent days that they might trade him. Can you imagine that? That they went out and got him and then they'd trade him 2 months later in the season? Like, how stupid are you? Seriously, he's not the problem.
You can say, though, it really hasn't worked out so far.
It hasn't worked out because...
I don't think Russ is, you know, I don't know.
You got three guys.
Too many guys.
They got three guys that are all ball hogs and isolation specialists. That's the problem, right? Three ball hogs. How do you play with three ball hogs? I mean, it's just bound to throw you off, isn't it? Aren't most teams just supposed to have one ball hog? Seriously, you get three of them, problems happen. You don't win. The flow. How do you have a flow when you have three different guys that demand the ball and don't pass it? The winter meetings continue to bring moves as the Marlins continue their purge, sending Marcell Ozuna to the Cardinals. He's a 100 RBI guy, I believe, and hit over 300. So, and I think he hit 30 home runs. Is that about right? So, and the Tigers shipped Ian Kinsler to the Angels. Agent Scott Boras also made his yearly appearance, calling the Marlins a, quote, pawn shop. I thought that was a really good line, actually.
He had a lot to say. He said a few things about the Mets, too. He had something about an ATM card, and they go to the vault. He actually, his press conferences at the winter meetings are sometimes more exciting than the trades that take place.
Is that right? So Floyd Mayweather claims he could rematch Conor McGregor in UFC for $1 billion. He wants to fight him in the octagon, is what he's saying?
That's what he claims. This is just a case of a guy who just can't go away because I thought he was supposed to go away after he beat his ass in August.
Wasn't that
I thought
it?
He was
just
done.
50-0, be done.
He needs more money, I guess. Probably. I mean, I don't think he has the stones to do it.
I I don't. He's going to lose in the octagon. He has absolutely zero MMA skills.
I don't think he would put himself in that position. Throwing numbers around like $1 billion.
I think he's full of it.
I think he is.
He's full of Shaq Diesel. That's what he is. He's lying. He's not going to fight him in an octagon. He has no skill. He has no chance of success in there. He'll get killed. I actually would bet on McGregor in that. So Carver High, the number was 12 on the deep balls game tonight, semifinal playoffs.
How'd I do? Did I at least split? Did I split or no?
You split. Because
I was taking the 12 and I was taking him on the money line.
Yeah. So the cover was there. I hit a, listen to this, we're down 13 with 5 seconds to go. I hit a NBA range three from the deep corner to cover the spread at the buzzer. So we were down 13. I hit the bomb and that made it 10. We lost 79-69. Listen to this. Our three bigs scored 26-23, and I had 18, 9 boards, 7 dimes, and 2 steals. And our other three scored 2 points. The other three guys on the floor for us had 2 points.
And they got to contribute more than that.
Yeah, like a little, like maybe a few buckets would have been decent, like just a few, maybe one or two from each guy would have helped. Think about it. We lost by 10, and those three scored 2 points. The commissioner hit 1 J. That was it. And the other two scored nothing. Nothing. I'm not even sure the other two got a rebound or made a pass or anything. I just stood there, I think.
Just remember.
No offense. I like both of the guys. They're good guys. I'm just telling you, you can't play a game against 5 deep. They were 6 deep, this team, with 5 star players. And they toyed with us the whole game, right? Because we had, it was 5-on-3. That's what happened.
Just remember, you did trade yourself to the worst team in the league. So
thanks, Skipper.
We have to keep Thanks. That in mind. You had to know that you were getting involved with guys who just
right.
weren't going to fill it up.
There's no denying that. I mean, I was willing to give up the body so that the league would be better. So the same team that beat us by 20 4 weeks ago, we lost by 10. So we got better.
Improvement.
We won 2 games. We made the semifinals. We lost by 10. We lost by 20 to them 4 weeks ago. So I improved in every game. We lost to the Ballers by 40, then we lost to them by 29 and covered. The last 2 bets I made covered a 29. Then last week we won outright. This week we lose by 10 and cover again. So I can live with that. And I can sleep okay tonight based on the 3 bigs stepped up for my team. The 3 good players performed at a high level. But we couldn't stop them, so they played great. One guy scored like 30 points at least and did whatever he wanted. And we couldn't stop him. And it was that simple. We couldn't, like, guard the ball, guard him, guard the other 4. It was impossible. So we got lit up. And that was that. And our season's over. And then the other teams played after that. I put it on Facebook.com/UltimateHoopsNewYorkNewJersey page. It's on there. I'll put it on my Pharrell on a Bench one on Facebook later tonight when I get home. It's really not that exciting. I did an interview with the commissioner, and then I did a little play-by-play from the second game. That second game is my old team. Although I will say on the interview I do with the commissioner, I show Carver High. The banners finally came in from corporate, so all 6 Pharrell Ballers championship banners are on the wall now. It looks really good. We are like the dynasty.
About time.
Carver High loves Volbeat. You can feel it. Here we go. One time. Are you with us? Feel it. Oh, you know I like it. Come on. Oh, yeah. What's the matter? We too thick for you. Yeah. I like when he drags it right here. Check it out. Ready? So, Bulls hanging on 101-98 over the Jazz with 14 seconds left in the United Center in the Windy City. Raptors up 6 at the half in Phoenix. Rockets up 49-23 on the Hornets in H-Town. 9:40 left in the second. I'm watching that one. Rockets win the game by 5 over the Pacers. Clippers by 11 over the Magic tonight in Orlando. The Wizards win by 6 over the Grizzlies. Celtics 124-118 over the Nuggets. Blazers beat the Heat in Miami 102-95. McCollum had 28. Pelicans beat the Bucks by 7. As for NHL puck activity tonight, Carver High is not happy. The Islanders lost to the Stars 5-2 at the Barclays. Rangers lose to the Senators 3-2. Wings and Bruins are 1-1 in the third, and the Predators lead the Canucks 1-0 out of the gates. The last time I checked, it was a light night in college basketball. Nova, though, handled Temple by 20. A&M blew out Savannah State. Texas Tech is putting it on Kennesaw State. I like to call them Pharrellasaw State. They're up 44-21 early in the second half. So Thursday, tomorrow night, you got Denver and Indy in Thursday night football. What could be worse than that game? Saturday, Chicago, Detroit at Ford Field. The good one, the Bolts and Kansas City at Arrowhead. Saturday night. Sunday, Miami and Buffalo. I love it. New England and Pittsburgh. It doesn't get any better. That's the game of the week. Sunday night, Dallas, Oakland. Monday night, Atlanta, Tampa. Go to PharrellOnTheBench.com for all my money lines and spreads. All season long, I've been killing it. All my bowl games are up, money lines and spread. All over 70%+ in college football for the season. We've had 80% weeks in college football 2 weeks ago. We have killed it all season for you. You know it. Everyone knows it. They call the show. They talk about it. They shout, Pharrell, you're the man. That's all I have to say. If you don't like it, don't use it. Please, don't use it if you don't like making flow. Please, if you think you're better, please do it yourself. We don't need you. Trust me. I mean, thousands and thousands and thousands of fans adore it, love it, and keep coming back for more because all I do is cash for them. Notre Dame and Indiana Saturday in College Rack. Tomorrow night, Lakers, Cavs. Saturday, Oak City and the Knicks. NHL tomorrow, Pittsburgh, Vegas, and Sin City. Friday, L.A. and the Rangers at the Garden. Every pick, every sport, every day, every single game. Boxing, MMA, daily fantasy rosters. It's the greatest thing ever. PharrellOnTheBench.com. Sign up today.
This is Pharrell on the Bench.
All right, so we have so much going on tonight, and why not start with the God himself from Boston, the great Jim McBride from the Boston Globe. First of all, tell me about that. I saw you had posted about the Herald and everything. That was, like, that's bad news, right? Like, that didn't they? Is that paper going away, or is it already gone away? It's just that's not good for the business.
No, it's horrible. They're in bankruptcy, and Gatehouse Media, which owns a few papers around here, like the Providence Journal and Worcester Telegram, have put in a bid to buy them, but they have to go through the bankruptcy process first. So hopefully they're allowed to buy them and business as usual. But it was quite a scare for a lot of guys, and it's a terrible thing when a town becomes a one newspaper town because. You need that competition. You need you need someone there driving you every day, and I think that's what the Herald does for the Globe and the Globe does for the Herald. So I'm hoping that it's business as usual once they get through this bankruptcy.
Yeah, it's been happening a lot over the last few years. Obviously, the game has changed with the internet and all these iPhones and everything and smartphones. People have gotten their information that way. I have to ask you, though, like, because I think people got really excited when, like, the media shifted into this internet world of all the websites and all the, freelance writers and blogs and all this other, frankly, nonsense. I won't discredit that there's a lot of great writers doing stuff on there. I really respect that there are some great writers, without a doubt. But I have to tell you that I think it's one of the great travesties of my lifetime that I have to sit here and watch the newspaper business go down the toilet because I have been the guy. I mean, I have 5 newspapers delivered to my driveway every day of my life. The smell of the newspaper is one of the things that gets me going. People have coffee. I have a newspaper. I got to tell you, I think it's one of the most depressing things I've seen in my life, that change. Everybody says change is good and everything else. Well, my ass, because I don't like what they've done to the newspaper business. I got to tell you, it really bothers me.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I grew up, reading and delivering the Globe when I was a kid, and I've been there for, I've worked there for 30 years now. And, you know, I still look forward to it every morning. I still look forward to putting out a fresh product every day. And I think, you know, there is a place, obviously, for, you know, that the internet journalism and all that other stuff. But I think if you want the real investigative stuff, the hard-hitting stuff, it's still newspapers that get it done because they take the time. They don't worry about the immediacy of getting everything done right away. They, you know, great, you know, just look at Spotlight, the movie that was based on the Globe Report and all the work that they did. And the really important work is still done by newspapers. So they're dying, but I hope they don't, you know, go away forever because that would just be, like you said, a travesty.
Can you believe that I used to deliver, and I don't know if I ever told you this before. Maybe I have because I don't remember. I've had you on so many times. You're one of my favorites. I can't remember if I ever told you this, but when I was a little kid, I delivered the Chicago Tribune, and I had over 100 deliveries a day, 7 days a week. And the Chicago Tribune on Sunday is one of the heaviest, most enormous newspapers you've ever seen in your life. It's, I mean, it is literally, it may be the biggest paper in the country. And I used to drag a sled, a toboggan, in literally freezing cold, like 10-degree weather, in snowdrifts, Lake Michigan snow effect. And I used to pull this toboggan with my body, with a rope, and 100 Chicago Tribunes roped down on this thing with like those rope strands, and I used to deliver 100 Chicago Tribs every day of my life for like, I don't know, at least 7 years. Can you believe I was a paper boy too?
Yeah, it was amazing. When I was growing up, the Globe had two editions, a morning paper that my brother delivered and an afternoon paper that my sister and I delivered. So it was crazy, and I remember stacking the plastic toboggans and dragging them through the snow too, especially when the shopping cart that we stole from the local supermarket wouldn't get through the snow, so we had to go to the toboggan. But, I was delivering that Sunday Globe, and it was something else.
It's no joke. I think, you know, Carver Hyde just told me in my ear, he believes he'll take the Chicago Tribune over the Boston Globe delivery boys in a 12-round fight. He's taking the Chicago Tribune boys over the Boston Globe boys, even though most of the Boston Globe boys drank whiskey and missed a couple teeth and grew up near Southie. They were a little tougher, but he's going to take the Chicago Tribune based on Al Capone and other ingredients.
I think we have a nice mini-series building here.
No, I have the third leg, Scotty. I have the Long Island Newsday guys. That's who I would be throwing in.
Those guys are femmes. Stay out of my life. So anyway, let me ask you. So I couldn't believe what I was watching the other night with the Patriots, how awful that was. I mean, Bill Belichick's press conference after the game was better than the game itself. It was so classic when he wouldn't answer any questions, and he was like, the offside kick didn't work, and he was so intimidating, and everyone was so afraid of him, and it was so brilliant that, like, literally nothing was said. But that was, like, it was almost as though they took the night off, that they just threw the game. Like, are you kidding? That might cost them the AFC title game at Gillette Stadium, actually.
Yeah, it was a shock to all of us. You know, nothing worked on offense. You know, the outside receivers couldn't get free. Brady was short on a lot of his throws, even the middle ones that he normally completes. You know, with such regularity, 0-for-11 on third down. Couldn't believe that. You know, I talked to Danny Amendola after the game, and he said that the Dolphins did a great job scheming. They went from man to zone to man to zone, and they had a robber in the middle of the field that they hadn't used a ton of times, but a guy that, you know, usually Gronk would destroy on a regular occasion, but he wasn't there. And the Dolphins did a great job scheming. And, you know, we kept waiting for Cutler to throw up all over himself, and he never did. He played Brady-like. And, you know, that was just a kind of an anomaly.
I mean, Jim McBride, when it's from the Globe in Boston, the Patriots always, except that I can remember like twice, I can remember twice they beat them, the Steelers beat them at Heinz Field, but I remember so many Patriot wins there. In January, they beat them by a touchdown in the AFC Championship game back in 2002. They beat them in 2005 early season. They beat them right before Thanksgiving in 2010. And then they beat them, I think, last year, right, and before Halloween. All they do is win at Heinz Field. Are they going to do that again this week, especially coming off a loss?
I think the Patriots are going to be really focused for this game. I think we're going to see a lot of offense, two great offenses, and I think what it ends up coming down to is what defense can make a stop. But the Patriots certainly aren't intimidated by going in there. They've won there in the past. I think that it's the key for the Steelers really is to change up the defense. If they play zone all game long, then Brady's just going to shred them, because that's what he's been doing to the Steelers for the last 10 years or so. So I think if they don't change up their defense and take a page out of the Dolphins book, then they could be in for another long afternoon.
Jim has to go to bed early, but not before he does another segment with us. I still want to talk more about the Patriots and Steelers, and I want to talk about the Celtics, and I want to talk about the Red Sox. So he's going to have to do another segment with us. No questions asked.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
It's time to ask the pros. You get to ask me a question brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Check out the link, cbssportsradio.com/askthepros, or tweet us at cbssportsradio with the hashtag askthepros. If I answer yours in the final hour of the show tonight, we'll overnight you a case of absolutely nothing.
You get nothing.
Trust the pro parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts to help you choose the brakes that are an exact fit for your vehicle. Brands you trust like BrakeBest and Wagner ThermoQuiet. O'Reilly Auto Parts has the brake parts you need at guaranteed low prices. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices. Every day, 855-212-4CBS. We're talking to Jim McBride of the Boston Globe. So do you think, the Steelers have been gearing up for this game for like a month? Like, their coach is saying that's all that matters to us. He's not one of these guys that's like, all we worry about is what's in front of us. We worry about one game at a time, one week at a time. That's all we fight. He doesn't mince words. He's like, all we care about is the Patriots game. That's it. Like, I got to tell you, I find that refreshing that he's like, this game's huge to us, and everything else is a waste of our time. I love it.
Yeah, I asked him that question specifically today on a conference call. Why he does that? He said, "Look, we talk about goals at the beginning of the season, and some of the main goal is to get to the Super Bowl and win the Super Bowl. And along the way, there's going to be big games. So for us to ignore those big games along the way and say that week 10 is as important as week 13 against the Patriots is crazy, because that's not what it's all about. So definitely a different philosophy than I'm used to hearing in Foxborough. But yeah, I think you're right. Very refreshing, and not afraid to address the elephant in the room at all.
Do you think that Pittsburgh can, let's see, this game is crucial toward who gets the home field, it would appear to me, but do you think that Pittsburgh could actually beat them in a playoff game? Like, because that's the bottom line. I really, you can talk all you want about week 15. It's the AFC title game I care about.
Yeah, I'd give them a shot at Heinz Field in the playoffs, but I don't see the Steelers coming to Foxborough and beating them in the playoffs. And yeah, that's why this game is so big, because if they beat the Patriots are eliminated from the number one seed, because assuming both teams hold court the rest of the way, they'd have a two-game lead on the Patriots and they'd have the tiebreaker head-to-head. But Jacksonville could still sneak in and steal that number one seed, because they beat the Steelers earlier this year. If all the teams end up 12-4, and the Steelers had beat the Patriots, the Jacksonville would get the number one seed. So there's a lot riding on this game. If the Patriots can win and then hold court, then they know they don't have to go back to Pittsburgh. If Pittsburgh beats the Steelers, and they know, if Pittsburgh beats the Patriots, then they know they don't have to go to Gillette. So it's all or nothing, really. It's a great game, a great late season game, and it's for all the marbles.
Do you think, Jim McBride, Boston Globe, do you think that, because they looked, to me, they looked naked without Gronkowski. It's painfully obvious they're not the same without him.
Yeah, absolutely. They did have he's missed 25 games in his career since he got it due to injuries, and the Patriots had a 20-5 record going in. They actually played pretty well, and they won a Super Bowl last year without Gronk playing, down the stretch. But they had a healthy Edelman, so that was the huge difference. Winning without Edelman and Gronkowski, that's a tall ask. So I think that's where they were cut out for him, and that's why they signed Kenny Britt this late in the season, hoping to get a little magic, kind of reinforce a receiving core that's taken a lot of hits this year.
Wow. So what are they going to do with Britt? What's the plan? Are they going to throw him in there and throw the ball to him? Because he was worthless in Cleveland.
Yeah, I think so. I don't know if it was one of those cases where he had just, lost interest in Cleveland because they were losing so much, and maybe, kind of a bad taste in his mouth. But I think they'll get him in there and they'll try to, you know, get him comfortable as soon as they can. Maybe work on a handful of plays this week in practice. He immediately gives them a big physical presence on at the receiver. You know, 6'3", 200 and something pounds. That's so much bigger than the guys have been running out there. Amendola, you know, Brandon Cooks, Philip Dorsett to a lesser extent, but those guys are all smaller guys, and it really hurt against the Dolphins because they didn't have that big guy Gronkowski to kind of offset it and kind of take some of the attention away and open up the outside by cutting across the middle. Now they'll have Gronkowski back on Sunday, and you know, we'll see if Britt can ingratiate himself quickly and build a rapport with Brady, because that's really the main thing. He can run great routes, but if he doesn't get Brady's trust, he's not touching that ball.
Do you think that Pittsburgh defense is that good without Hayden and Shazier? I mean, I got to tell you, I've said this before. I think Shazier is very fast, but they talk about him like he's some kind of god on that defense. And I hate to say it, I just don't buy that. I think he's a good player. I don't think he's ever been a great player, and that defense allows to. I mean, Flacco torched them last week. If that guy can torch him, imagine what Brady will do to him.
Yeah, I think that Shazier is really instinctive. You know, he knows where to be, but like you say, I don't know if he's a dominating player. I think up front, Cam Hayward kind of sets the tone for that defense, and if he can put pressure up the middle and off the edge on Brady and make him uncomfortable the way the Dolphins did, you know, those guys were diving at his feet and diving at his knees all Monday night, and he couldn't step up and get anything on his throws. I think a lot of people were saying, you know, oh, maybe his shoulder's bothering, or maybe he couldn't plant his feet because of the Achilles injury that he's been nursing the last couple of weeks. But I really think it was the fact that the Dolphins were all over him, and he couldn't get comfortable, and he couldn't step into his throws. And, you know, he didn't have any of those normal, like, frozen ropes that he throws across the middle to Amendola and Gronkowski. Those, you know, Gronkowski wasn't there, but He just didn't make those throws because he never looked comfortable. So I think if Hayward's the guy that I'd be worried about if I was the Patriots, he'd be my top attention getter.
There you go. Let's shift gears. I want to ask you a couple things about the Celtics. That Hayward got his boot off, and he's been talking gibberish that he wants to play this year. Are they seriously going to let this guy fracture his leg and then play basketball in April or May? If they obviously, I think they're going to be playing in April and May that deep, because I think they're a really good team. You can't be serious that this guy's actually going to play basketball this year, is he?
I think that's still within the realm of possibility, because you know Ainge has talked this even in the last week, and he didn't quash any of the rumors. He was just kind of saying, you know, well, we'll have to assess it when Gordon's fully healthy, but. I don't know if that's kind of a lot of pressure to put on a guy to maybe hustle back, but the way they're rolling right now, I certainly wouldn't, you know, I wouldn't tempt fate. I'd make sure this guy is 1,000% healthy before I'd get him in the mix, because, you know, there's going to be a mental aspect to this thing. He's, you know, the first couple of times he goes up for a rebound or jumps up for a pass, it's going to be going through his head. So you want to go real slow with this guy, especially, you know, there's no sense of urgency. This team is dominating the East with the Cavaliers. I think it's going to come down to the two of them, whether Hayward comes back this year or not.
So Horford is day-to-day, and Marcus Morris is out. So the injuries are mounting. If anything happened to Irving, God forbid, I think they'd be screwed. But everybody else seems to be playing well. They got it done tonight against Denver.
Yeah, I think the Celtics loss Monday night kind of got overshadowed by the Patriots game. But Irving didn't play in that game, and they kind of got their heads handed to him. So I think you're absolutely right there. If they lose Irving, that's a big deal.
So let me ask you about the Red Sox, Jim. Jim McBride, the great writer from the Boston Globe, back on the bench, always coming through in the clutch, even during the holidays. So your Red Sox, I got to tell you, they met with J.D. Martinez, and frankly, that's the best they can do, if you ask me, after they got fleeced by the Yankees getting Giancarlo Stanton. Now I guess the evil empire is fully back and lock and loaded. What do they think in Boston of how the Yankees are loading up? And I guess if they get Machado, they'll win about 5 straight World Series, won't they?
Yeah, I mean, you look at some of the stats from last year. Stanton and Judge combined for 111 home runs. The Sox, as a full nine, had 134 home runs. So they're going to have to move the Green Monster back to Boston University to kind of combat the Yankees. I think the growing frustration around Red Sox Nation right now is that the Sox kind of took the offseason off. You know, Dombrowski's, when they asked him about Stanton, he said, well, we made a late call, but they were pretty far down the road with the Yankees. Well, I still think you got to make a play, even no matter how far down they are. you know, just give it your best shot. I think, you know, that was kind of a lame excuse. So I don't know. It's not looking good. They got Stanton, and we got a sponsorship with Sam Adams. It didn't seem real.
Listen,
even to me.
No, wait a minute. That is a very important sponsorship, if you ask me. You got to listen. Priorities here. Carver High immediately had cringe face. Don't ever mock the beer sponsor for the team. This is crucial. Let me ask you this question. What did Stephen Wright do? We don't know the details of who he beat up, allegedly.
Yeah, that was kind of tricky. He got arrested, but I guess the victim said, you know, it was all verbal. So I'm not really sure why he got taken into custody. But, you know, there's a guy that 2 years ago was the best pitcher on this staff, and he's kind of fallen off the face of the earth ever since.
So the Bruins are playing good defense, I think. They're not giving up a lot of goals. Didn't they? Who was it that they were? Were they tied tonight? I was watching the game before. I think they were.
As I was sitting here talking to you, Scotty, the Brad Marchand just won an overtime.
Marchand.
Yeah, they scored a goal late. They pulled the goalie. They pulled Rask with 2 minutes to go and tied it up, and then they won an overtime.
In Detroit. Oh, so Carver High just said into my ear, he's the dirtiest player in the league. And McBride says in my other ear, I love dirty players.
That was the first team I grew up loving was the Boston Bruins. So when they win, I'm a happy man.
That's right. Jim, listen, Merry Farrellmas, Happy New Year. I love you. My last show is Friday for the year. So thanks for coming on this week. I always love reading your columns. You're the best. I always love having you on the show. All the very best to you and your family during the holidays. Have a great holiday with your family, friends, et cetera. Eat a lot of food. Get fat. And I'll talk to you during the playoffs.
Sounds great. Love you too, Scotty. Thanks for having me on.
All right, Jim McBride of the Boston Globe with us tonight. Carver High, not really just not having McBride mocking the Samuel Adams sponsorship. That is a crucial sponsorship, Carver High. The beer sponsor is always more important than a middle reliever.
Yeah, you know what? Not a big fan of the Sam Adams.
No, so. But you got to get a good sponsor in
you
there
gotta
for
have
the
fans. You got to have the beverages in there.
What
right.
Beer would you prefer in Boston?
Well, that's obviously in Boston, that's the beer to drink. So
maybe they could come out with a Dropkick Murphy's beer.
That would be good.
They already got a boxing gym, don't they? They could have a beer they could come out with.
They got a lot of things going on up there. Those
guys
own the town.
I like Boston. It's my favorite city that I never go to. Actually, I do go there. I've been to Fenway a bunch of times. I've been to the Garden a bunch of times. I took 34C to the Garden to see the Celtics and Nets back when wasn't Jason Kidd playing with them back in the day? I went to see him play then in the playoffs. It was great.
Yeah.
Partied in Boston. Then I went to, what's the casino called? Foxwoods.
Yeah, Foxwoods and the Sun. There's two of them.
I went to Foxwoods and partied. And then we mooned the people at the other one. The other casino. What's that one called?
Mohegan Sun.
We mooned them, those people. We did. We drove by in a limo and mooned them. 34C was in on it, too. All right, so, excuse me. I just noticed that my team, I was the only one that rebounded tonight for my team. I had 9 boards. But I noticed we got out-rebounded 55-25. That's a problem. That would, you know, in terms of the game film, that's going to be an issue. And the other one, as I mentioned, was 3 of our guys had 2 points combined, and then the other 3 had all of the points. I was in on the other 3 that scored a lot, but it's a very depressing night tonight on the bench.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.